Andrew O'Hagan is the subject of Book Club in an hour from now on Radio 4. But first, we return for the last time to the town of Handley Cross and Scott Cherry's free adaptation of the R.S. Surtees novels featuring the lovable Master of Hounds, John Jorrocks. Mr. Doleful is facing the impending Handley hunt with trepidation and dread.
Champagne Charlie's my name, Champagne Charlie's my name. Good for any game at night, my boys. Good for any game at night, my boys. Champagne Charlie's my name.
I was still Champagne hoping Charlie's that it was all just a terrifying nightmare.
I'm sure you were.
And that I would wake up to find myself still living in my handsome townhouse, still the respected master of ceremonies, supervising the entertainments and ensuring that the standards of a genteel, high-ranking society were maintained at all times.
But, Mr. Doleful, my endeavours didn't meet with immediate success.
No?
Good heavens, no. I suffered all manner of crushing disappointments and cruel reversals in my early days.
Really, Mr. Nash?
When I first visited Bath, it was a rowdy, uncouth, dangerous place. The previous master of ceremonies, Captain Webster, had just been killed in a duel. And I had to walk the streets with a pistol in my pocket.
No.
Thomas Goulding paid a gang of ruffians to throw me into the Avon.
Why?
Because he thought I was a Jacobite.
Oh.
I didn't even know what a Jacobite was.
But you overcame these hindrances, Mr. Nash.
I still don't.
You overcame these obstacles and succeeded in making Bath the style capital of the Western world. Whereas I failed to make Handley Cross any more popular than Shelfhanger or Slaithwaite. You ended up living in a mansion the size of a palace, whereas I was forced to abandon my handsome townhouse for a single room above Miss Jelly's confectionery and pastry shop, and allow Mr. Jorrocks to bathe in the praise of the Handley Cross Entertainments Committee.
I'd like to open this meeting by asking everyone to welcome our new Master of Foxhounds, Mr. John Jorrocks.
Mr.
What a
Jorrocks.
Speech, sir. What a speech.
Well done, Mr. Jorrocks.
Mr. Barnington.
Yes?
What's the latest number of subscribers for the hunt?
Oh, 300.
Oh, 300 fully paid up subscribers?
Well done, Mr. Jorrocks. Well done,
it was
sir.
Nothing. Imagine that, Mr. Doleful. Mm? 300 visitors.
Congratulations, Mr. Jorrocks.
It's all thanks to you, Mr. Doleful.
What?
I couldn't have stood on the balcony at the Dragon Hotel and command the attentions and affections of that crowd if it hadn't been for your strong words of encouragement.
And what exactly were these strong words of encouragement?
There were no such words, Miss Barlington, I can assure you.
Oh, yes, there were.
Mr. Jorrocks says there were.
Mr. Doleful gave me invaluable advice on the art of public speaking.
Really?
Quoted the likes of Demosthenes and Cicero and Quintilian.
Cicero and Quintilian. How interesting.
Well done.
Excellent.
No, I merely said that Demosthenes believed sincerity to be the overriding principle of successful oratory.
Which is something I possess in bucket loads. Sincerity. Heart. True feeling. Look, I wonder if we might begin.
Which is
our...
why I was up all night writing this.
What's that?
John Jorrocks' grand sporting lecture on the most demanding, intriguing and rewarding endeavour known to man... fox hunting. Friends and fellow countrymen, lend me your ears.
Mr. Jorrocks.
That's to say, listen to what I'm going to say to you.
Sir.
Today, I shall enlighten you on the all-important ceremony of taking the field, where all of England comes together in a spirit of liberty, equality and fox hunterty.
Mr. Jorrocks.
Yes?
This isn't really the time to deliver a lecture.
I just thought I'd try it out, you know, see what you think.
We have an agenda to get through. Mr. Simpkins.
Oh, I do apologise.
Now.
Got carried away as usual, go, what an oath.
As well as
discussing... Yeah, I was thinking I was another Nimrod. Oh, sorry, Mr. Simpkins, sorry. Pray proceed.
after we've discussed the hunt, we also need to discuss the exact number of fireworks we'll be having for the hunt ball.
Yes.
Did you say fireworks?
He most certainly did.
Do we need fireworks?
We've got to have a firework display, Miss Bowdington. Especially with the royal wedding with Princess Alice getting married. And an event's not an event without a bit of pyrotechnic.
But we...
Squibs, crackers, Roman candles.
But I think...
Bengal lights, Greek fire... Water devils for the ponds. Oh, my favourites are... Oh, God, why called? Oh, Mr. Dolphin.
I'm sorry?
You know the ones.
Do I?
The ones that turn as they go up, like flying Catherine wheels.
Ooh.
Oh, you know?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Come on, it's the French name.
Yes. I can assure you, Mr. Jorrocks, that I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Fireworks are not my forte.
Perhaps we should... 2 billion! Oh, the way they ascend the heavens and turn and give out so much colour. Oh, they really are most spectacular.
Mm.
Oh, write that down, Mr. Simpkins. 2 million. But don't ask me to spell it. And add a few firecrackers while you're at it.
Well, perhaps Mrs. Jorrocks can decide on the fireworks.
Of course.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Mrs. Jorrocks?
Yeah.
But I'm organising the hunt ball with Mr. Dolphin.
Oh, Mrs. Jorrocks has asked if she can help.
And we have to say we found some of her ideas very exciting.
We're going to bring a friend up from London who's going to top the evening off by attempting a dramatic ascent in his brand new illuminated Montgolfier balloon.
Oh.
To a height of no less than 10,000 feet.
Oh, excellent.
Come... Mr. Pig.
Moley Grubs.
Have you come about the hounds?
Aye.
Oh!
Are they ready?
As ready as they'll ever be.
At last.
Are you coming now, like?
Yes, we are, Mr. Pig. Yes, we are.
Perhaps we should wait till after the meeting.
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Moley Grubs, but I've been that desperate to see the hounds, I haven't slept since I got here. Oh, where's my tootler? I'll go and give him a blast. Lead on, Mr. Pig. Lead on!
Oh, I'd better go with them. Wait for me, gentlemen!
I'd heard the hounds were completely mad.
They are.
Weren't they discarded by the Cheshire Hunt?
For seizing an old woman in a scarlet cloak.
What's that noise?
Mr. Dolphin?
Mr. Dolphin? What's wrong?
Mr. Simpkins?
Yes?
Would you mind passing me Mr. Jorrocks's grand sporting lecture?
Oh, of course.
Thank you.
What are you doing?
Mr. Dolphin.
Liberty. Equality. And fox hunterty.
Mr. Dolphin, control yourself.
Mr. Dolphin, stop.
You must forgive me for such an outburst, Mr. Nash.
Of course.
But 300 fox hunters.
Oh, sir.
One of them had already confronted Lady Montague in the hydropathic chamber.
Good God.
Six of them had circled the Duke of Devonshire in the bathhouse and subjected him to 8 verses of a song about a Polly Perkins of Paddington Green.
No!
Within days of Mr. Jorrocks' arrival, we were being completely overrun by Philistines.
Oh, the kind that think a deficiency of birth easily redeemed by a sufficiency of cash.
Exactly.
The kind who wish to be gentlemen without knowing how.
Uncouth productions.
Respectable looking at 10 years and vulgar looking at 5.
Mr. Nash, I have to say, your descriptions of the meaner sort are quite...
Oh, sir.
Magnificent.
Bless you.
You'd think her a man on a flying trapeze. She does all the work while he takes his ease. And that's what's become of my love.
All together now.
He'd fly through the air with a great greatest of ease.
Come on, Mr. Dolphin,
a daring young man on a flying trapeze.
Movements
were graceful, all girls he could please. And my love, he blew the boys away.
Excellent, Mr. Dorrit.
Most entertaining, thank you. But you were supposed to join in.
No, really.
I would have ruined it.
I can't sing another song.
Shall we try another?
True that I dwelt in
we mustn't
really
put you
Mrs.
to the
Dorrit.
Anyway, we have the time, my love. Oh, we things to do, haven't we, Mr. Dolphin?
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Dorrit. I really think I should stay and help Mrs. Chorrocks and Miss Barnington.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Dolphin. You can leave things with us, can't you, Miss Barnington?
And I've given you my word that I'll have you riding in time for tomorrow's hunt.
But
And when John Chorrocks gives a man his words... Besides, I need you at my side, sir. He's my lucky charm, isn't he, Julia?
I have to say, Mr. Dolphin, I think my husband loves you more than he loves me.
As soon as you finish your tea, we'll nip down to the stable and get you reacquainted with sitting in the saddle. You said you wanted a horse on the slow side?
The slower the better.
Well, I've lined you up, my old Brown. That won't give you much trouble at all. He used to carry the huntsman of a pack of harriers, so I'm told. A little bit ugly, it has to be said, but perfectly shaped. Goes by the name of Bulldog.
Bulldog?
He suffered a rheumatic affection, which is why he's got a slight limp. But I'm assured he'll leap anything he's put to. I'll just go and see if the boy's finished blacking my boots. If you'll excuse me, Miss Barnington.
Of course. Well, Miss Barnington.
Reggie, those boots, Dan!
I have to say... I've had the most excellent idea for the ball, and I spoke to Mr. Muleygrubs, and he agrees with me.
Really?
And I also spoke to Mr. Simpkins and to your charming brother.
And what is this excellent idea, Mrs. Jorrocks?
That we have the humble in fancy dress. In fact, while I think of it, I'd love to have your opinion on my costume. I really would. I've decided to go as a poor little match seller. I think our theme should be vagrancy and want. And if you're short on ideas, Miss Barnington, I think that you'd make just an excellent swiller of slops. Now, I've just gone change into my costume.
Bessie, have you finished doing my rags?
Fancy dress.
I knew nothing of this, Miss Barnington, I can assure you.
Mr. Muleygrubs gave me his word the evening would be formal. He knows people in costume abandon all sense of decency. The last time we had fancy dress, the church warden came as a Viking and committed the vilest of indiscretions with a Hottentot. Where are you going?
I'm leaving before Mr. Jorrocks returns.
But we...
I will not, under any circumstance, be forced to ride a horse. I absolutely loathe the creatures.
But have you forgotten our plan?
You can't honestly expect me to rush around the countryside leaping hedges on a rheumatic horse.
Mr. Dolphin, my fellow parishioners are insisting I do something to close the hunt, but I can't act alone.
But your suggestion that I engineer some kind of accident for Mr. Jorrocks...
We just need to find a way to make him... fall from his horse.
How?
By...
Yes?
By...
Yes?
Mr. Dolphin, you can't just stand back and let yourself be usurped by a cockney grocer.
No!
No! Please don't go. Please, come and finish your tea and eat another of Mrs. Jorrocks' cucumber sandwiches. If you abandon me, sir, I fear I may be about to cry. Please, sir... God bless you.
I can't find the kecks now.
You see my little poke bonnet?
You're wearing it. How's my little A-bag?
Stop it.
How's my little A-bag?
I am not your little A-bag.
Give us a nibble. Don't go on.
Handley Cross is teetering on the edge of a moral abyss. And unless we do something...
But...
Mr. Jorrocks wants you to accompany him during the hunt. He considers you to be his lucky charm. Mm. He trusts you, Mr. Dolphin, and you must encourage him in that trust until we can decide on a way of driving him and his poor little match seller out of Handley Cross forever.
Bring in the horse over now, Mr. Dolphin. Oh,
excellent.
And I'd just like to take this opportunity, while we're waiting, to thank you once again.
I'm sorry?
I can see the panic in your eyes, sir.
Well, I
know how uneasy you are at the thought of getting back in the saddle. But such is your determination to overcome your fear and support a new friend, I can't say how touched I am and how important it'll be to have you riding by my side, Mr. Dolefool. I really can't. Don't tell a soul, but I'm scared too, you know.
Oh.
Well, think about it. Tomorrow's going to be the most important day of my life. Hunting's been my hobby ever since I could keep an horse. And of all the situations under the sun, none, Mr. Dolefool, is more enviable or more honourable to me than master of foxhounds. When I think of all the years I've spent in business, the sorting of sugars, the mixing of teas, the posting of ledgers, the handling of invoices, escaping whenever I could to the sweet air of Croydon to hunt with the Surrey. My greatest dream was always to escape and take up a post like this. And it's happened. My dream has come true. I finally reached the top rail in a ladder of my ambition. But I have to tell you, Mr. Dolefool, I'm worried sick I might fall. Here he is. Here's a very fella. Thank you, Mr. Dobbs. I'll take him.
Right.
Leave him here with me, and I'll bring him back when we're done.
Sure.
Come on, boy. Over here. That's it. That's it. Come on. So this, Mr. Dolefool, is Bulldog. What do you think?
When you said he was ugly, I didn't comprehend just how ugly.
Over 16 hands, I reckon. Have you ever seen such a beast?
Are you sure he's a horse?
Look how calm he is. Feel his coat, Mr. Dolefool. Feel it. Come on. Close as satin. This is the one for you, no question. So, let's see how you look in the saddle.
Mr. Jorrocks, it's been so long since I've taken the reins. I'm not
You'll
sure
You'll take to it like a duck to water. I know you will. No. Now, come on, Mr. Dolefool. Be brave. No. Foot in the syrup. That's it. Right. Up you go. That's it. Well, sir, how does it seem?
A long way down.
It's just dirt. And where there's dirt, there's less hurt. Now,
Easy, Bulldog.
Now,
easy.
Mr. Dolefool, I want you to ride around in a circle, and while you're getting used to him, I'll tell you what you need to do tomorrow in order to be a top hunter. Well, come on. Come on, get a moving.
Hop. Hop. Oh, no, easy now.
Oh, best keep your heels down.
Why?
In case he gets upset and takes flight. You don't want to end up caught in the stirrups.
I thought you said he was calm.
And lean back a little. Otherwise, if he bucks, he'll throw you.
I thought you said he was calm.
I think he's taking to you, Mr. Dolefool. Yes. He's definitely taken to you.
Easy, boy.
That's it.
Easy.
We hitting any turnpikes in tomorrow's hunt, do you know?
Why?
Better make sure we've got shillings to chuck so we don't get held up. Hounds won't wait for a turnpike, nor will a fox. Don't let his head go, Mr. Dolefool.
Easy, boy, easy.
But don't pull on him too much either. Now, tomorrow, try and stay inside the pack. The idea is to gallop 100 yards for their three. And if they overrun the scent and make a bad turn, keep your eyes on me. And what you mustn't do is ride the hounds line. Keep one side or the other. And remember, it's the nature of a fox to travel downwind. So stay leeward of the hounds, and you shouldn't get caught out. Hear me?
I hear what you're saying, Mr. Jorrocks, which I'm afraid isn't the same as saying that I understand it.
I wish I could be as dry as you, Mr. Dolefool. I really do.
To this day, I still don't know why Mr. Jorrocks was convinced we were the best of friends.
But, Mr. Dolefool, a true master of ceremonies should never encourage familiarity or close association of any kind.
Now, I know, Mr. Nash, but I gave him no encouragement at all. And whatever I said or did, Mr. Jorrocks remained resolutely fixed in the assumption that I was as fond of him as he was of me. There was even a time when we met in the High Street. He made us link arms, then started whistling and marching me along in the manner of a sergeant of the police who'd just made an arrest. Well, the morning of the hunt arrived, and by 9 o'clock the square was a mass of scarlet and blue. Attorneys rubbing shoulders with ditch diggers, bankers exchanging greetings with butchers. It seemed that all of England had come to follow Mr. Jorrocks in his first hunt.
Quiet!
I reckon we've got a troublemaker in that pack, Mr. Pig.
It was Billy Button. He caught take his eyes off a bunny bell.
Take the hounds to the edge of the square, and we'll be off in 10 minutes.
Right you are.
Good morning, Mr. Jorrocks.
Well, Mr. Moody Grubs.
Pleased with the turnout for your first hunt?
You haven't by any chance seen Mr. Doleful, have you?
Other side of the square, ready for the off. Looks as scared as a man can be.
I'll go and join him, and I would ask you, sir, to follow. I want to make sure my first hunt starts prompt.
Morning, Mr. Jorrocks. Quite a turnout.
Let's just hope we find ourselves a good fox.
Well, Mr. Mooley Grubs,
How
are we going to find ourselves a good fox?
Everything's in place.
Did you speak with Mr. Pig?
He seems to think he's found us a suitable specimen.
A fox in a bag?
Shh! Oh. Treat him for a scan. So sorry. If Jorrocks finds out it's a bad fox, they'll be all out to pay.
Sorry.
And if he finds out a fox hadn't been seen in the Vale of Sheepwash since the Norman invasion, he's likely to run off back to the Croydon Hunt and start splashing his cash there.
So, where will the fox be released?
Oh, there's an old quarry hall in South Grove, and Mr. Pig's arranged for it to be let out as Jorrocks approaches with the hounds.
And what will it do?
What?
What has Mr. Pig trained the fox to do?
What do you mean? He hasn't trained it to do anything.
Oh.
It's not one of his performing animals, Mr. Barnington. It's not going to walk a tightrope or play the hurdy-gurdy. It's a wild fox that's been brought all the way from Durham and Coalsack.
Mr. Mooleygrubs.
Mr. Doleful.
You better come quickly. No, easy, easy, poor dog. Easy.
There seems to be someone in the square causing quite a commotion, and Mr. Jorrocks would like us to get away as quickly as we can.
Who is it?
Mr. Mooley Grubs. We better leave before the Marquis of Bray starts causing trouble.
Oh, no, not him.
Right, everyone. Ready for the off? And if we find us a fox, let's hope the scent stays chest high. Forward! Away! Mr. Doleful! Where are you, sir? You're supposed to be riding by my side.
Coming, Mr. Jorrocks, coming. Easy, Bulldog. Easy.
Stop!
Out of the way, your lordship, or you'll get yourself run over.
Stop, I say.
Good morning, your lordship.
Keep up, everyone. Keep up!
If you're becoming more civilized, then why? Why are we engaging in the vulgar and vicious pastime of hunting and killing poor defenseless animals? The time will come when the voice of reason will demand that humanity extend the protective mantle of the law over everything which breathes, and you will hang your heads in shame. Stop, I say! Stop!
Do you ken John Beale with his gold so gay? Do you ken John Beale at the break of day? Do you ken John Beale when he's far away with his hounds and his horn in the morning?
Way back there! Kick on, kick on! It's the very thing, Mr. Doleful. Now you see why I say hunting's the very liver and bacon of my existence and the true sport of kings. The hounds have got a scent. They've stopped babbling and they're speaking. Oh, yes! Ooh, the fox is in that cover. I know it is. They found a scent. They're on a rush. Keep up, Mr. Doleful!
I'm doing what I can, Mr. Jorrocks! But this horse, if it is a horse, has got a mind of his own!
There's the fox, I see it! Tally-ho, tally-ho! Half together! Half forward, hounds, get forward!
Where?
How could you miss him? He's a whopper! Oh, you may be a big un, sir, but I'll lay £5 for a fiddler's farthing. I'll have you within the hour.
Pig!
Sir, keep those hounds whipped in.
It's funny glass. It's playing up.
Well, keep them straight. I don't want them seeing air and running riot.
Did you see the fox, Mr. Barrington? Came out the grove like a thunderbolt. Did you see it? Heading towards Surrenden Lane.
My God, it's huge.
Indeed it is.
Oh, they must have used an incredibly large bag.
In heaven's name, man. You keep quiet about the bag.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Well, the sound of his own brought me from the bend, and the cry of his aunt in the old town said, feels you hello.
I reckon the fox is checked. The fox has checked and he's heading back. Bring the hounds, Mr. Pig. Turn them round and bring them back this way. Oh, Xerxes, stop. Stop, boy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. We'll wait. Oh, don't worry. Oh, we won't let that fox escape. This is too big a day to let that fox escape. You deserve a rest. You were jumping those edges like a young'un. Now, where did poor Mr. Doleful get to?
Mr. Jorrocks!
Ah!
Bulldog doesn't seem to want to stop!
Well, get to grips with him! I know I said don't pull too hard, but that don't mean just sit there like a pudding. Slow him down, Mr. Doleful.
I can't!
You're heading straight for that pond.
I know!
Don't worry, he shuns all water, so he won't go diving in.
Slow down, Bulldog!
Just slow him down, otherwise when he sees the water...
Hold hard, boy, do you hear me?
He's likely to pull up. And send you flying. Mr. Doleful? Where is he, Bulldog? What have you done with the boy? Don't say he's drowned. Mr. Doleful! Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Doleful, but I did say you needed to show him who's boss. And I did also tell you to lean back.
I swear, Bulldog.
You better get back into town and get dry before you catch your death.
When I tell you to stop, you stop, do you hear me?
Mr. Doleful, you get yourself back to Andy Cross while I... get back to the hounds. I can't miss a kill on my first day. And I've got to be in it to death.
Never mind getting dry, Mr. Jorrocks. I'm coming with you. Hold still, Bulldog, or you'll feel my spurs and whip. Do you hear me?
You're bleeding.
Never mind the blood, Mr. Jorrocks. Let's just make sure we're there when the hounds get that blasted fox. Away, Bulldog. Away. Wake up, Mr. Jorrocks. By the sound of it, we've half a mile to make up. At least turn, Bulldog.
That's the way to talk, Mr. Doleful. That's what I want to hear. Come on, Ortiz. You heard him. Horrid boy. Away. That's the hunting spirit, Mr. Doleful. That's what I want to hear.
Come on, Bulldog. The hounds are closing in. Horrid. Away.
There is no fear with the heart and soul. Let's drink to his health. Let's finish the goal. We'll find the pain. Put out of the round if we want to the hunt in the morning. Hooray!
Well, I promise I'd bring you back safe and sound to Miss Jelly's, and I've kept my word. You might have ended up in the water, but you're still breathing, thank God.
Yes, I think it's fair to say that I'm still breathing, just.
But I suggest you get dry as soon as you can. Oh, Miss Barnington.
Mr. Jorrocks.
We've had a good day, Miss Barnington. In fact, I'll go as far as to say it was a great day. Wouldn't you, Mr. Doleful?
Indeed.
Oh?
One of the best days hunting I've had in a long, long while. Even if the fox did go to ground. I'm going to like this country. The fields may be rough, but that's good. They keep me and the horse on our toes. Yes, well, the two of you have probably got this evening's ball to talk about, so I'll go and leave you in peace. Come on, Xerxes, come on. Well done, Mr. Doleful.
And well done to you, Mr. Jorrocks.
Oh, Miss Barnington.
Yes?
You probably know my wife has changed this evening's theme from vagrancy to kings and queens.
Indeed.
She says it's because of the royal wedding. But I think it's so she can go as Elizabeth and triumph in the number and brilliance of her diamonds.
between you and me, I think she's after first prize. I'd probably go as Henry the Eighth, but only if I can find the wives.
Well, this is the mighty bulldog.
Feel his coat, if you like, Miss Barlington. He won't mind. In fact, he'll like it, I'm sure.
Thank you, but no. I'm never at ease in the company of animals. And the beast does seem somewhat lathered. Mr. Dolefull, you're soaked to the skin. And you're shivering.
Oh, Miss Barlington. I never felt so alive in all my life, I swear.
Don't swear, sir, please.
Jorrocks was right. Fox hunting is the noblest of the arts and the greatest of all pursuits.
What?
I wished you'd seen me. Within seconds, I was flying over fence and gate, leading the field, chasing the pack. Miss Barlington, you must come with us. I urge you, the next time we hunt, to join the field.
Mr. Dolefull, please.
I'm convinced that there's nothing in the whole of existence that can match the heat and fury and intoxicating...
Sir, your language...
...rapture of the hunt. You cry, tally-ho, and your heart races.
Sir.
A horn sings out and your spirit flies.
Please.
And when you see the fox crossing the glade, haughty, brush in the air, careering along like a colt turned into a field, your very spirit, Miss Barlington, soars, and my God, you just want to catch the creature. You want lightning and rummager to seize it and...
Mr. Dolefull, heat, fury, rapture? What has happened? What has become of you?
But, Miss Barlington...
No, sir, no. Please. This conversation is altogether too distressing. I see now that Handley Cross is no longer teetering over a moral abyss, but has in fact fallen to its darkest, gloomiest depths, taking you with it.
Miss Barlington, this may be a coming fever talking, but I am forced to confess that I find myself against my strongest urges, reappraising Mr. Jorrocks, whom I fear I have possibly viewed and represented a little too unkindly, and indeed I also find that it is forcing me to consider the quality of my own character.
Mr. Dolefull, I have often entertained a notion that I would one day turn my back on the vanities of the world, renounce all possessions, assume the name of Scholastica, and spend the rest of my days in perpetual silence with a Cistercian sisterhood, sustained by a simple diet of vegetables without butter and prayer. I think that day has finally come, Mr. Dolefull. I really do. Good day.
But, Miss Barlington, wait, please.
Sir?
This evening?
Yes.
The ball. Will you, I would very much hope, that is to say, I would consider it a gross disappointment if you weren't to attend, Miss Barlington. I really would.
Life is full of disappointments, Mr. Dolefull. I may attend, I may not. I shall have to examine my conscience. But I have already promised the Society for the Preservation of the Sabbath that I will be meeting with them in Yelverton to burn more copies of Wuthering Heights, and I would hate to disappoint them. Good day.
Good day.
Mr. Dolefull?
Yes?
If you are to avoid a fever, I suggest you take Mr. Jorrocks' advice and change into some dry clothes as soon as is possible.
Oh, Mr. Dolefull, what was going on? What were you up to?
If only I'd had you there to advise me, Mr. Nash. I was like an unschooled child, but what could I do? Whenever I was in the company of Miss Barlington, I was Zeus in love with Demeter, only his statue, unable to speak or act, even though her presence filled me with a joy unconfined, a bliss everlasting, and an uncontrollable urge to recite Marlowe.
But what did you say to Mr. Jorrocks was the first principle of successful oratory?
Well...
Sincerity. You can't be solemn and merely anguish for a lady's favour. You have to make your feelings clear and say what you feel.
Well, I resolve to do that very thing, Mr. Nash.
I'll give you one more clue. I'm a king whose inordinate love of women resulted in him having 700 wives.
Oh, Mr.
And 300 concubines.
Oh, Mr. Barnacle.
Mr. Jorrocks, you're to be congratulated once again.
Oh, sir.
Not only on the excellent day's hunting, but on a quite magnificent costume.
I don't think so, Mr. Moody Grubbs. Half of them in the room are Henry VIII. I should have come as Xerxes, the King of Persia, in honour of my horse. All this tights are making my legs itch. Mr. Simpkins?
I'm Frederick the Great.
Oh, Mr. Moody Grubbs.
Well, I toyed with the idea of Ivan the Terrible or one of the rival kings of Brentford from the pantomime. Mm. But decided in the end to come as Robert the Bruce.
I've just seen your wife, Mr. Jorrocks, and I have to say her Elizabeth is simply stunning. I've never seen so many diamonds and precious stones.
All false brilliance, but even they don't come cheap. Just a shame about her off. Ah, Mr. Doleful.
Mr. Jorrocks.
Have you been in the exotic garden?
No, not yet, no.
Perhaps you could let me show you around my friend's giant balloon.
Thank you, sir, but I have no intention of rising 10 feet, let alone 10,000.
Oh, it's tied down with ropes. You'll be perfectly safe.
Perhaps later, thank you.
Mr. Jorrocks, I know this might not seem the right moment.
Mr. Simpkins?
But I wonder if Mr. Muleygrubs and myself might have a very brief word about the cost of this evening's ball.
The cost.
It was our understanding, Mr. Jorrocks, that you were happy to cover all expenses until we'd raise sufficient funds from subscriptions.
I told you I would. Cost of the ball, the cost of keeping the hounds, damage arising from the hunts.
Everything.
Perhaps we should go and talk outside, Mr. Jorrocks, where it's a little less crowded.
Well, you better lead the way, Mr. Moody Grubs. Or should I say, Your Royal Highness?
Oh!
Perhaps you'd care to see my friend's Montgolfier balloon, Mr. Simpkins. I have a feeling it might well appeal to your progressive scientific sensibility.
Indeed. Mr. Barnington?
Yes?
Is your sister here, do you know?
I've no idea, Mrs. Doleful. Quite frankly, I don't really care.
More wine! Here, the claret!
You must excuse me for staring at the ceiling, but I find myself unable to lower my head on account of my foolish maid Betsy having put too much starch in my ruff. But before our next dance, which I'm told will be a country jig, I would like to congratulate you all on the most excellent costumes. Who, I wonder, will win first prize? Cleopatra! Or Louis the 14th? Queen Nefertiti or Attila the Hun? Or perhaps our judges will pick Marie Antoinette? Or decide they've been very much taken by Mr. Ames from Stockton-on-Tees? Oh, I think you'll all agree, he makes the most striking Montezuma.
Miss Barnington, you came.
You must forgive me, sir, for not possessing sufficient courage to indulge in fancy dress.
Well...
But I see you are very much to be complimented, Mr. Doleful.
Yeah.
I have to say, your costume is most impressive.
You really think so?
Let me guess. You're a Maharaja or Sultan of some kind?
The Great Mogul.
Ah...
I was somewhat at a loss until Miss Jelly saw in my red leather slippers a suggestion of the mysterious East.
I see. Your turban?
Miss Jelly's Sunday hat.
And the ruby?
A barley sugar.
Miss Jelly really has been most resourceful. It makes me wonder how highly she must figure in the register of your affections.
Miss Barnington, would you care to dance? I would consider it such an honour. Please?
Well, Mr. Doleful.
Yes.
I have to say. Speaking as one who normally strives to avoid the unbecoming effects of unusual exertion, and as one who normally disdains all pleasure and vain entertainments...
Yes.
And as one who only ever indulges in just the one sensual delight...
Which is?
Tea.
Ah.
On this occasion, I will make an exception. Yes, Mr. Doleful. Yes. I will dance with you.
Oh, Miss Barnington.
Sir.
Can I just say, allow me to say...
Sir, you're hurting my hands.
Your presence fills me with a joy unconfined and a bliss everlasting.
Sir, something's...
Mr. Doleful.
Miss Barnington, Celestria, thou art fairer than the evening air.
Something's digging
me. It's my militia sword, sorry. Brighter art thou than...
Mr. Doleful.
Than flaming Jupiter, Mrs. Jorrocks, please.
I'm sorry, Mr. Doleful. But John wonders if you'd like to join him in the exotic garden before we set off the fireworks.
But I've told him I have no wish to examine his friend's Montgolfier balloon. I can see it from here. It looks splendid. Thank you, Miss Barnington.
Please, Mr. Doleful. He was so insistent. He said he'd make him so happy.
Mr. Jorrocks, can't this wait? Mr. Jorrocks, sir.
I wouldn't come too near if I were you, Mr. Doleful.
I'm sorry?
I've half a mind to pitch these ropes and fly away to the land of God knows where and never be seen again.
Why?
Don't tell the wife, sir. She's never had any idea the trouble I'm in. That's why I moved us out of London. Keep her from finding out my dark secret.
What's going on? Who wants to lock you away? What is this dark secret?
That I'm suffering from the greatest curse of all, Mr. Doleful. Debt. I owe hundreds, thousands. And all because of my great passion, my one great passion and weakness, fox hunting. I'm a terrible man, Mr. Doleful. I've lied to the Andley Cross Hunt, and before that, to the Surrey. Mr. Moody Grubbs has been pressing me for the money I promised. But that's not what's really worrying me. It's this. Benji's just brought it over from the mail coach. A letter from my lawyer telling me to expect a summons to appear before the Lunatic Commission. Brought not only by the people I owe money to and those I've outraged throughout the years, but also by my most loyal friends who are convinced that the only way they can save me from my obsession and from debtor's prison is to have me pronounced mad. Oh, how my jaunts and jollities have come back to haunt me. But I'm not mad, am I, Mr. Doleful? Just because I love riding around the countryside chasing a fox?
I don't think you're mad, Mr. Jorrocks, but if you've been summoned, then you have to appear.
I can't!
But if you don't, then the commission may take it as proof of an unsound mind.
Mr. Doleful, I think I prefer to be left alone, so if you wouldn't mind stepping out of the balloon...
I can't.
What?
I can't step out of the balloon.
Why? Oh, my!
How dare you inflict pain and suffering on sensible beings?
That's Attila the Hun!
How dare you? What can be more savage and debased than seeing...
He's cut the ropes with his scimitar!
John!
Hello, my love!
John! My Johnny!
Mr. Doleful! Mr. Doleful, what's happening?
Oh, my God!
What are you doing?
Oh, my God!
By the look of it, Miss Barnington, flying away to the land of God knows where.
Oh, sir.
Ooh. Oh. That's a what's it? The tourbillon.
Tourbillon.
Hmm?
I have no idea if the Montgolfier balloon did achieve a height of 10,000 feet. Mr. Jorrocks was most insistent that it did. But what I do know is that we were stranded, together, in the clouds for 2 whole days and nights.
Good heavens!
Before coming down in the middle of Wakefield Market, where I fancy the astonishment of the local people was divided equally between the sight of a giant inflated balloon and the regal presence of Henry VIII and the Great Mogul, fighting over a barley sugar.
We were, of course, relieved to have survived with our lives intact. But within a day of our return to Handley Cross, as he'd expected, Mr. Jorrocks was summoned to appear before the Lunatic Commission, where, after a number of witnesses had given evidence, the celebrated Chancery lawyer, Mr. Martin Moonface, acting as counsel for the inquiry, delivered his summation to the jury.
Gentlemen of the jury, I think we can all agree that this is a case of both great and grave peculiarity. We have all seen with a growing dismay and a terrible foreboding how the murmuring rill of Mr. Jorrocks' enthusiasm for hunting gradually developed a strong undercurrent of eccentricity, which then became a torrent of wild, uncontrolled impetuosity.
Bowden!
We have seen how this unhappy infatuation removed him from the occupation of his trade and the pursuits of a rational being. How he neglected Jorrocks and Company Wholesale Tea Warehouse to spend all of his money on the Surrey Hounds.
It wasn't just John. It was me. I'm the one that spent all his money.
Shh. Mrs. Jorrocks.
It's all right, my love.
They say shopping is to a lady what sport is to a gentleman. Well, I'm the one that spent the money. I'm the one with a torrent of impetuosity. These gloves cost 12 guineas.
Oh. Mrs. Jorrocks, please.
How much?
We have heard from a number of Mr. Jorrocks' victims. Poor Mr. Savoy, innocently working winter cabbages in his Croydon garden.
Yeah.
When Mr. Jorrocks and four of his dogs...
Hounds!
...leapt over the garden wall and proceeded to demolish his melon frame.
Yeah. And when I sought to arrest him, I received a vicious blow to the face.
Serve you right for grabbing my collar.
Yes.
We heard from poor Miss Sniffle.
Yes.
Who, when confronted with Mr. Jorrocks and 100 of his followers... thought the French had invaded, and was so dreadfully alarmed, she ended up dropping her homemade giblet pie.
I was dreadfully alarmed.
Which Mr. Jorrocks' dogs pounced upon.
Hounds!
We have heard countless stories, gentlemen of the jury. The way Mr. Moorygrubs of Handley Cross had been promised that the dogs would be cared for.
Oh, give up.
And the hunt ball paid for.
We're fetching a bill of 200 guineas.
More.
The man's cracked.
When Mr. Jorrocks knew perfectly well he hadn't the money.
Oh.
It has become perfectly clear to this commission that this gentleman has been moving about the countryside, striking terror into the hearts of all who dare stand in his way, in open defiance of all statutes against riots, routs, and unlawful assemblies.
Not true.
That he has thrown aside the calm, reflective world of a grocer's business for the noisy, boisterous, riotous world of hunt management. For days made horrible with yelling, and for nights spent amid the most unprofitable debauchery.
What?
That his general conduct as a dangerous enthusiast has driven him to debt. Forced him to deceive others, including his poor, distracted wife, whose feelings may be imagined, but can never be described. And has involved him in the aforementioned riotous proceedings, which are subversive of all morality and religion. And it is for these reasons that I ask the jury to recommend a commission of lunacy.
No! No!
Before we ask the jury to consider their verdict, is there anyone here present willing to act as counsel for Mr. Jorrocks and to speak up on his behalf?
Anyone?
No.
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to speak for Mr. Jorrocks, if I may.
And you are?
Ms. Erymas Doleful.
Are you a lawyer, Mr. Doleful?
No, but I'm a friend. And I would like the jury to consider what I have to say before returning their verdict on his sanity.
Mr. Doleful.
gentlemen of the jury, permit me, if you will, to enlighten you on the all-important ceremony of taking the field and to speak of the unbounded happiness experienced by Englishmen of every rank and distinction, be they dukes and ditch-diggers or kings and carpenters, as they come together, as kinsmen, one and all, in the spirit of liberty, equality, and fox-hunterty. Allow me to speak of the joy, gentlemen of the jury, the simple, unalloyed joy of galloping across country, proudly borne on the back of a noble, generous horse, whilst at the head of a vast assembly composed of all the choice and gallant spirits of the land. The very thought is exhilarating. The clear sky above, the wide expanse of country around, the refreshing air, the jovial spirits, the neighing steeds and chiding hounds, all come together in one rush of indescribable delight. Can we really blame a simple Englishman for casting aside the cares of his counter and his everyday working world to rove unfettered in nature's wildest, most sequestered scenes? Do we really have the right to declare him insane for seeking to refresh his mind and strengthen his body, to drive away dull care and the ills and evils of his working life by pursuing his God-given right to take exercise?
No.
No, we do not. But Mr. Moonface believes we do. And Mr. Moonface is an honorable man. He accuses Mr. Jorrocks of being swept away on a torrent of wild, uncontrolled impetuosity for inducing others to hunt, which, the ancients agree, is the pursuit best calculated to restore or produce health. And yet, what's good enough for Xenophon, Aristotle, and Plato is disregarded by Mr. Moonface, who, we are told, is an honorable man. Gentlemen of the jury, if we deprive Mr. Jorrocks of his liberty for jumping Mr. Savoy's garden wall, if we send him to the Hoxton madhouse for galloping past Mrs. Sniffle and causing her to drop her giblet pie...
I was dreadfully alarmed.
Then it is my belief that we threaten the very liberty and freedom that is the God-given right of every man, woman and child.
Yes.
The right not to riot, but to roam free.
Yay!
In this glorious garden, this garden which is ours, this garden which is England.
Yay!
And that is why, gentlemen, that is why I ask you, indeed implore you, not only to find Mr. Jorrocks to be of sound mind, but also to be in possession of a generosity of spirit which merits a statue to be erected in the public gardens of Handley Cross in his honour. I was with Hercules and Cadmus once, when in the wood of Crete they bayed the bear with hounds of Sparta. Never did I hear such gallant chiding, for besides the grove, the skies, the fountains, every region near seemed all one mutual cry. I never heard so musical a discord, such sweet thunder!
Well said, Mr. Dolfo. Well said!
Thank you, Mr.
Now that, Mr. Moonface, that was true oratory. That was Demosthenes at work, that was Quintilian at his best. Talk about using the rhetorical pause.
And that, I suppose, Mr. Nash, brings me to the end of my story.
But what about Mr. Jorrocks? Was he committed or was he set free?
Oh, he was set free.
Oh.
The commissioner demanded that he never make promises concerning money, never commit a trespass during a hunt, and always ensure that someone was willing to pay for any damage. And Mr. Jorrocks duly consented.
And Miss Barnington?
What? I was forgetting.
Mr. Dolfell?
Miss Barnington.
May I echo the sentiments of Mr. Jorrocks and compliment you on a most impressive speech?
Oh.
You must be most relieved the poor man's been granted his liberty.
Yes, I... Miss Barnington, I must apologise for my behaviour at the hunt ball.
No, sir,
But when I grabbed your hands in such a rude, indecorous manner...
In a manner I didn't entirely dislike.
And quoted the words of Mr. Christopher Marlowe...
Which you spoke most beautifully.
I was intending to finish by saying that I hoped... most sincerely hoped, indeed most devoutly and most sincerely wished...
Yes.
...that you would consent, my dear Celestria...
Yes, Miss Aramis.
...to be my wife.
Do you ken John Peel with his gold so gay? Do you ken John Peel at the break of day? Do you ken John Peel? with his hands and his horn in the morning.
Hurry up, Mr. Doleful. The hounds have found a scenter on the rush.
Coming, Mr. Jorrocks. Come on, bulldog, faster boy. Where are you, my sweet?
Coming, my dear. Coming. Come on, Scholastica. Move.
There's a fox. And look, it's another whopper. Come on, Xerxes. Come on, boy. Fire it away.
Tally-ho. Tally-ho.
And that really is the end of my story, Mr. Nash.
But, Mr. Doleful, you led me to believe it ended unhappily.
Well...
It seems to me to have reached the most satisfactory conclusion for everyone concerned. You saved your friend from the madhouse and found yourself a wife.
But I failed you, Mr. Nash.
Oh, sir.
Yes, my whole life I was so determined to emulate your achievements. I wanted so desperately for Handley Cross to be the next style capital of the Western world.
But it's a different time, Mr. Doleful. The age of elegance has died.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do?
Then you're leaving me.
I must, I'm afraid. I've been summoned to Woodhall Spa in Lincolnshire by the Master of Ceremonies, Mr. Thomas Hodgkin. Perhaps I could suggest that he get himself a pack of hounds.
Do you ken John Peel with his coat so gay? Do you ken John Peel at the break of day? Do you ken John Peel when he's far away with his hounds and his sword in the morning?
Have you got time for the credits?
Yeah, of course. In Jorrocks, Johnson, Jollities by R.S. Surtees, Miserimus Doleful was played by Charles Edwards. John Jorrocks by Danny Webb.
Beau Nash was Clive Swift, Miss Barnington, Rebecca Sayre, and Mr. Muligrub's Christian Rodska.
Mr. Simpkins was played by Geoffrey Beavers, and Mr. Barnington by Grant Gillespie.
Mr. Moonface was Gareth Armstrong, Mr. Pig and Bray, Rob Hudson, and Julia Jorrocks, the mellifluous Emma Pearson.
Jorrocks, Jaunts and Jollities was adapted by Scott Cherry. The music was provided by Matthew Scott. The producer and director was Clive Brill.
And this was a Pacificus production for BBC Radio 4.
The news is next here on Radio 4, and then it'll be time for Book Club. And Andrew O'Hagan is a rising star in the literary world. He joins James Naughtie and readers to discuss his novel Be Near Me, the story of Father David, an aesthetic English Catholic priest working in a working-class community in Ayrshire. It's a poignant story of a man who doesn't fit in. Join Andrew O'Hagan and James Naughtie for Book Club here on Radio 4, and that's in a couple of minutes.